बिहारी। जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरुत्थारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरुत्थारी। यशोरानंदना ब्रज जन रंजना। यशोरानंदना ब्रज जन रंजना। यमुना तीरा तारी। यमुना तीरा वनचारी। जयो राधो माधव कुंज बिहारी। जयो राधो माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरुत्थारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरुत्थारी। यशोरानंदना ब्रज जन रंजना। यशोरानंदना ब्रज जन रंजना। यमुना तीरा वनचारी। यमुना तीरा वनचारी। जयो राधो माधव कुंज बिहारी। जयो राधो माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज गाचार्य अष्टोत्तरस्त श्री श्रीमरे श्री भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपार की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि गो समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। आ गवेश दिया समल दिवर्ती। आ गवेश श्री श्री गुरु गौरांग। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 15, Verse 27. Word meanings, Avam, thus, Sudit, of their friends, Vachaha, the words, Shrutva, hearing. Sudit, to their friends, Priya, pleasure, Jikirshaya, desiring to give, Prahasya, laughing. Jagmatu. The two of them, Gopai, by the cowherd boys, Vritao, surrounded. Talavan, to the Tala force, Prabhu, the two lords. Evam surid vachasrutta. Surit priya chikirshaya. Prahasya jagmatur gopar. Ritao talavanam prabhu. Evam surit vachasrutta. Surit priya chikirshaya. Prahasya jagmatur gopar. Vritao talavanam prabhu. Evam surit vachasrutva. Surit priya chikirshaya. Prahasya jagmatur gopar. Vritao talavanam prabhu. Prahasya jagmatur gopar. Vritao talavanam prabhu.
Evam surit vachasrutva.
Surit priya chikirshaya.
Prahasya jagmatur gopar.
Vritao talavanam prabhu.
Evam surit vachasrutva.
Surit priya chikirshaya.
Prahasya jagmatur gopar.
Vritao talavanam prabhu. Evam surit vachasrutva. Surit priya chikirshaya. Prahasya jagmatur gopar. Vritao talavanam prabhu. Ladies.
Evam surit vachasrutva.
Surit priya chikirshaya. Translation. Hearing the words of their dear companions, Krishna and Balaram laughed, and desiring to please them, set off for the Talavan surrounded by their cowherd boyfriends. Purport. Lord Krishna was thinking, How could a mere ass be so formidable? And thus he smiled at the petition of his boyfriends. As stated by Lord Kapila in the Srimad Bhagavatam 3:28.32, Hasam Harir Avanatakila Loka Tivra Shokashru Sagara Vishoshanam Atyudharam. The smile and laughter of the Supreme Lord Hari is most magnanimous. Indeed, for those who bow down to the Lord, his smile and laughter dry up the ocean of tears caused by the intense suffering of this world. Thus, to encourage their boyfriends, Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram smiled, laughed, and immediately set out with them to the top for the Tala forest. Om Ajnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Evam Surid Vacha Shrutva. Hearing the words of their friends, Surit Priya Chikirshaya, desiring to please their dear friends, Prahasya, laughing, Jagmatu Gopar Vrital, the two of them surrounded by the cowherd boys, Talavanam Mutu Talavan Prabhu, the two lords. Today we're going to talk about laughing and smiling. Last time I gave class, I talked about nectar, amrita. So today we'll talk about smiling. I'm getting all the mercy here. So this is, of course, this is appropriate to talk about smiling because we're in the 10th canto now. The 10th canto is Krishna's lotus face. We begin the first canto at Krishna's lotus feet. And the 10th canto is Krishna's face. And we've worked our way up to Krishna's face. And almost inevitably, when you read about here or some phrase with Krishna's face, it's Krishna's smiling face. Never Krishna's frowning face. Krishna's smiling face. Actually, there's a painting in Potomac. I don't know if it's still there, but it used to be there. And in Potomac Temple, in the house where Prabhupada stayed, which is the temple office, and it shows Krishna sort of like sad. And Prabhupada, he saw that and he said, "What is this? Krishna's never sad." And it was supposed to be about Krishna lamenting and separation from Radha or something like that. But Prabhupada said, "No, Krishna's never sad." And then he said, "Well, that's okay. We can call this Krishna has a headache." You know that pastime, Krishna has a headache. So Krishna's always smiling. When you hear about his face, we hear about the smile on his face. So the 10th canto is about his face, smiling face. There are lots of nice verses about Krishna's smiling face, Krishna's smile. There's one I especially like. It's Lord Chaitanya quoted this verse by Bilva Mangal Thakur. Maduram, maduram, vapurasya vibho. Maduram, maduram, vadanam, maduram. Mridugandhi, mridu, smitareta maho. Maduram, 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 maduram. So you hear all those madurams. So maduram means sweet. Maduram, maduram, yasya vibhor. So vibho means Krishna's body. His body is maduram, maduram. Maduram times two. Madugandhi mridu smita eta daho. And the maduram, maduram, vadanam, maduram. His, the second line, his face has three madurams. His body has two, his face has three. Madugandhi mridu smitadeta maho maduram 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 maduram. And his smile, the smile on his face, which is compared to madugandhi. Madhu means honey, and gandhi means the fragrance. So his smile is compared to the fragrance of honey. It's maduram 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 maduram. Four times sweet. Sweet, 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 sweet. The smile on Krishna's face. So Krishna's smile is sweet. His face is sweet. His body is sweet. Of course, he's called Madhusudana, or sometimes just Madhu. The word Madhu means sweet, and it means also bee, and it also means honey. It's a name for Krishna. In fact, even Krishna's name, Madhusudana, we always think of it as the killer of the Madhu demon, which is what it is. The Madhu and Kaitava demons, they stole the Vedas at the beginning of creation. And Lord Krishna, in his incarnation as Hayagriva, retrieved them by killing Madhu. So he's called Madhusudana. But if you take that Madhu to mean sweet, it means that Krishna's sweetness conquers the sweetness of honey. Or as Sridhar Swami, he comments, he says that Krishna's sweetness conquers the sweetness of our false ego. Because to all of us, our false ego is sweet. Our conception of ourselves, we cherish that. It's sweet to us. But Madhusudan can... defeat that sweetness by attracting us with his beautiful features. So that's Madhu. Now Krishna's smile, in the description of the universal form, well, there are some things I know in my mind, certain things stick, like the veins are, the rivers are his veins, and the mountains are the stacks of his bones. So his smile is also the smile of the universal form. You know what that is? That's the illusory energy. Maya's smile, you can say. She's attracting the attractive power of the illusory energy. That's the smile of the universal form. So we hear about Krishna smiling in different places. First of all, in the Gita, towards the beginning of the Gita, after Arjuna speaks, first, of course, he speaks in the first chapter. And Krishna says a little something, and then Arjuna speaks again. And he, Tamuvacha Rishikena Prasan Iva Bharata Senayor Vayor Madhye Vishidantam Idam Vachaha. It's said there that then Krishna, smiling in the midst of both the armies, spoke the following words to the grief-stricken Arjuna. So Krishna's smiling. He's just heard Arjuna. What's Arjuna doing? Arjuna's completely, as we say, fried. He's really, he doesn't know what to do. He's just thrown down his bow. Govinda, I shall not fight. He has just said that. Those were his final words. And then Krishna's smiling at him. I was thinking of this. Sometimes if you say something very serious, you're upset and you smile, then the person will think, well, you're not taking me seriously. I'm really suffering here. What are you smiling about? So is that how Krishna is responding? No, Krishna's smile is a smile of compassion. In fact, Prabhupada says in the purport to that verse, Tamuvacha Rishikesha, that why is Krishna smiling? Krishna is smiling because his friend Arjuna has just accepted him as his guru. This is verse 10, that Tamuvacha Rishikesha in the second chapter. And the seventh verse is Karpanya Dosho Pahata Subhava. Shishaste Hamshadi Mam Tvam Prapannam. Now I'm surrendering unto you. I'm accepting you as my spiritual master. So when Krishna begins to speak, Prabhupada says he's smiling because Krishna has finally, or Arjuna has accepted him as his spiritual master. So in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, of course, throughout the Bhagavatam, we hear about Krishna speaking, or smiling, different situations. In the seventh chapter of the first canto, that's really where we begin the leela of Krishna and the Pandavas, after the introductory chapters of the first canto, with Narada and Vyasadeva especially, how so much philosophy is spoken there. And then the narration by Suta Goswami begins, and he begins by telling the story of Ashwatthama killing the five sons of Draupadi, and Arjuna vowing that he's going to get that rascal, he's going to bring his head to Draupadi. So he captures Ashwatthama, brings him to Draupadi, and what does Draupadi think? No, don't hurt him. He's the son of a Brahmin. She shouldn't kill the son of a Brahmin. So she argues for compassion. And on the other side, Bhima's there. He said, no. Bhima's, you know, wants to rip his heart out and tear his head off. And he's, Bhima was pretty ferocious. In the Mahabharata, and I remember there's one scene where he rips the heart out of someone and drinks their blood. So he's a real Kshatriya. He has that spirit. So they always have to calm him down. Even that situation, Draupadi is on one side and Bhima's on the other. And Krishna, he was there, it's described that he's there when all of a sudden he has four arms because he's trying to hold everybody back. He needs four arms to keep them from fighting with each other, I guess. So anyway, when he spoke there, also it says he smiled to Arjuna. And Arjuna, he had his own opinion. In fact, first Krishna was arguing that he should be killed. Then when Draupadi spoke, Krishna basically said, well, that sounds good too. So then he told Arjuna, basically, you have to figure it out. He was smiling compassionately. And Arjuna, we know his solution was to disgrace him by cutting off his hair, giving him a punk haircut. So that was his... So Krishna was smiling. It was a great... Arjuna was in turmoil, but Krishna was smiling. And often it's said that Krishna has a soft smile or a slight smile. So another time Krishna's smile is described when he's entering Dwarka. Krishna left, when he left the Pandavas, left Hastinapur, then he went to Dwarka. And the ladies were up on the roofs and Krishna was looking up at them and smiling. In fact, every day, the residents of Dwarka, they're looking forward to seeing Krishna's smiling face. There's a verse I've always liked. It's from the ninth canto. In the ninth canto, we get the dynasty. Krishna's dynasty is traced from back some generations. Then finally, we make it up to Vasudeva and Devaki, and then Krishna appears in the ninth canto. And then there are some verses that describe Krishna and Dwarka and how the residents of Dwarka were always, they were so eager to see Krishna every morning when he would come out and give his darshan. Just as the deities, they bless us with their darshan every morning. They come to be before their servants. So Krishna would come out of his palaces and give audience to his devotees. There's a beautiful verse there. Yasyananam makara kundala charu karna brajat kapola subagam suvilasahasam nityotsavam natatripur drishibipi bantyo naryo narascha mudita kupitani mescha. So the whole description, beautiful description of Krishna is there. His beautiful face, makara kundala charu karna, his beautiful earrings, makara, shark-shaped earrings, glistening off his dark cheeks, his beautiful forehead, subhagam, which gives all fortune. Just seeing Krishna's face, one becomes fortunate. We should remember this, actually, when the nectar of devotion is described. Just seeing the deity, how one gets unlimited heaps and heaps of pious credit, spiritual, transcendental pious credit, just by looking upon the face of the Lord. So the residents of Dwarka, they looked at Krishna's face and they were drinking in. Nityotsavam natatripur drishibibi bantyo. They were drinking in the nectar of his face. And there also it's described that he had a soft smile upon his face. So they're looking at that soft smiling face of Krishna. And just for a moment, when they blink, then they get angry because they're not seeing Krishna for a moment while they're blinking. And like the gopis, they're cursing Brahma for creating eyes that blink. So this is their ecstasy in seeing Krishna's lotus face. So not only Krishna, Lord Vishnu, but practically whenever we read in the Bhagavatam descriptions of Lord Vishnu when he arrives on the scene, or when the four Kumaras, they went to the Vaikuntha planets. First, we know the story, they were impersonalists. not Mayavadis exactly, but Brahman realized. In fact, the Kumaras, they represent this Jnana Shakti of Krishna. They're fully self-realized souls. So they went to Vaikuntha, and they smelled Kinjalka Mishra Tulsi Makaranda Vayo. They smelled the fragrance of the sandalwood and tulsi being carried by the breeze from the lotus feet of Krishna. So there Krishna is described, his features are described, and inevitably his smiling face. Or when Krishna appeared to Dhruva Maharaj, or Lord Vishnu appeared to Dhruva Maharaj, so different descriptions are given, and his smiling face is described. So many descriptions of Vishnu, that's there. And of course Krishna, now that we're in the 10th canto, we hear about Krishna and his smiling face, and there's a phrase that comes up a lot, his smiling glances. That there's a lot of these smiling glances, or smiling sidelong glances. So it's a smiling glance that Krishna casts upon his devotees. There's a nice verse in the Jayati Janani Vaso Devaki Janmavado. That's from the 10th canto. And Lord Chaitanya recited this verse, Jayati Janani Vaso Devaki Janmavado. Yaduvara Parishat Swaya Dorbirasyana Dharmam Stirachara Vijinagna Susmita Srimukena Vrajapura Vanitana. So the end of that, Susmita Srimukena, the beautiful smile on his face, on Krishna's face, Susmita Srimukena, Vrajapura Vanitanam, the gopis, Vardayan Kama Devam, it awakens or encourages Kamadev, or lust, within the hearts of the gopis. Of course, that kama is pure Krishna consciousness, pure prema. I was just reading a Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Banu Maharaj has translated Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. I don't know how long it's been out, a few years, I guess. I've been reading it recently. And there's a commentary by Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So there's a whole section that describes there are two kinds of prema. There are different ways to divide. One thing about the nectar devotion is that there are many categories of things. So one's attachment to Krishna is kama and sambandha, these two. Kama means basically madhurya rasa, and sambandha means all the other relationships. So it's the madhurya rasa, or the gopis. Of course, madhurya, getting back to madhu, that means the sweet rasa. So the sweetest rasa is the gopis' relationship with Krishna. That's in its own special categories. So when Krishna casts his sidelong glances upon the gopis, then their kama, their attraction, we can say, to Krishna just increases more and more. And even in the when Krishna in the Uddhava Gita, in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is instructing Uddhava. He instructs him, of course, in so many things. The Uddhava Gita is a very long book. It's longer than the Bhagavad Gita. It's quite a few chapters in the 11th canto. And when Krishna is instructing Uddhava in meditation, so naturally he describes meditation. The yogis are supposed to meditate upon the form of Vishnu. So they begin at his lotus feet and work their way up, and then they have the conception of the whole form of the Lord in their minds. But then Krishna says, then once you withdraw from that whole form and concentrate on the smiling face of Krishna, then the yogis, when they get attracted in the laughter of the Lord, they get attracted to that, and then they forget about everything else. So this, actually, like everything else, and we say Krishna consciousness is a science, and as I said, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there are so many categories of things. So there are also categories of laughter and smiling. That chapter, it's called The Laughing Ecstasy in the Nectar Devotion, describes the different kinds of smiles. Of course, the smiles often accompany laughter. So I was just studying these last night. the list of them. There are six of them, six different kinds of laughing and how they increase. So the first one is called smitta. We come across this. Now, of course, I was thinking a lot of times Krishna's laughter is smiling. Different words are used in the Bhagavatam. And I don't know if they're always being used in the technical sense in the way that they're described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because there are words like smitta. For example, the word smeram. Smeram bangi taraya parichitam sachi vistir nadrishtim. That's the verse that says, don't look at the smiling face of Krishna as he stands on the bank of the Yamuna at Keshi Ghat, because you lose all your affection to your for your family and friends. Smeram. So this sounds like it's maybe connected with the word smitta. So smitta is the first kind of smile. And that's when... Now these, of course, they're used in connection with Krishna's devotees and their ecstasy. The laughing, laughter is one of these sub-rasas. We have the five primary relationships with Krishna. And then we have these others that flavor, and spices that add more flavor to the relationship. So laughter is one of them. So in that context, a devotee's laughter. But we can see that Krishna also, of course, laughs. In fact, when I was first reading about Krishna smiling, and I was thinking, well, do we hear about Krishna laughing? Does he ever really laugh? And of course he does. Even in this very verse, it says that he's laughing. Although in the purport, it says that he was smiling and laughing. There are other times also, it's described, where Krishna's laughing. He plays and laughs with the gopis. So he doesn't just smile, he also laughs. So just as the devotees have different kinds of smiling, then Krishna also, you can say, has different kinds of smiling. So this smitta is when the smile is just without teeth showing. But there's a slight change in the eyes and the cheeks. That's called smitta. The next one is called hasita. And in hasita, then, now each one of these, you just add on, naturally. The other symptoms are there. You add on more things. In hasita, then the smile begins to see a little bit of the teeth. So, well, even in the Bhagavad, the verse I quoted from the Bhagavad Gita says, prahasan. So I don't know if this is really supposed to be hasita, prahasan. The hasa part is there. There may be a connection. Maybe Krishna was showing his teeth a little. On the battlefield when he was speaking to Arjuna. So when the teeth show a little bit, that's called hasita. And then vihasita is when the teeth show a little bit more, and then there's a little change in the nose becomes a little bit puffed, and the little sparkling in the eyes, or maybe tears start to show in the eyes, hasita, or vihasita. Then there's avahasita, and avahasita, then there's more. These things just begin to increase. The shoulders go up. And that one, the shoulders start to rise a little bit. And then it intensifies. The next one, apahasita, then they're really, tears are there, and this full, big smile. And then finally, atihasita. And ati means very much, or extreme, you can say. So atihasita means that then the devotee jumps up in the air and claps, and he's just overwhelmed with laughter. Cracks up, we say. That's the crack-up laughter. That's called atihasita. So these things are there. They're all categorized, and they're all in the nectar of devotion of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It's so amazing that all of these things are analyzed in such a way. So, of course, in Krishna consciousness, these things are there. They're all, they're ecstasies. I was thinking of different pictures of Prabhupada. There are some you can see. He has a big, big smile on his face, and you can see, even though it's not moving, you can tell his shoulders are up. He's exhibiting that atihasita, laughing and laughing. So it's so wonderful to see that, of course. It's so enlivening to see. So naturally, seeing the smiling face of the Lord is so enlivening. I'll just finish with something I read in the... I forget, this is one Bhagavatam verse. I didn't write down where what the reference was. This is also about meditation on Vishnu. With devotion steeped in love and affection, the yogi should meditate within the core of his heart upon the laughter of Lord Vishnu. So this is, we tend to think of Lord Vishnu as very grave. Mm-hmm. He's worshipped in awe and reverence. He's the king. So he's, but he laughs also. Yogi is supposed to laugh, or supposed to meditate upon that laughter of Lord Vishnu. The laughter of Vishnu is so captivating that it can be easily meditated upon. Meditation is so difficult. What a difference between trying to meditate on nothingness or meditating on a flame or whatever people try to meditate on. It says it's very easy to meditate upon the laughter of Lord Vishnu. When the Supreme Lord is laughing, one can see his small teeth. This is one of Krishna's opulences, that he has small teeth, which resemble jasmine buds rendered rosy by the splendor of his lips. Well, that's one characteristic of his teeth. They reflect his rosy lips, so they're kind of pinkish. Not from chewing pan, but from his rosy. Many people in India have red teeth too, but from something else. Once devoting his mind to this, the yogi should no longer desire to see anything else. So that's like the 10th canto. Once hearing the 10th canto, or hearing the Bhagavatam, Sarva Vedanta Saram Hi Srimad Bhagavatam Ishyate Tadrasamrita Triptasya Nanyatya Shadruti Kuchit. It said towards the end of the 10th canto, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the Sarva Vedanta Saram Hi. It's the cream or the essence of the Vedanta, or the Vedas. Srimad Bhagavatam Ishyate Tadrasamrita Triptasya. One who has tasted the amrita, the nectar of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we could say especially the 10th canto, Krishna's smiling face, nanyatya syadruti kuchit, doesn't have any attraction for anything else. So that's what our process is, of course. We're trying to attachment. We have two sides. We have, you might say, self-control, the rules and regulations that we have to follow, even if we don't like it. But on the other side, we need to cultivate an attraction to Krishna, appreciate Krishna's beauty. So the Nectar Devotion is full of a lot of information about Krishna, descriptions about Krishna that help us that attraction to awaken within our hearts. And Krishna's smiling and laughing is chief among those sources of attraction. So the verse again, evam surid vacha shrutva surit priya chikirshaya prahasya jagmatur gopair vrital talavanam prabhu. Hearing the words of their dear companions, Krishna and Balaram laughed, and desiring to please both of them, set off for the talavan surrounded by their cowherd boyfriends. Yes, Kaliapaniku.
Prabhu, this is not on your main topic, but you did mention, you did touch on this. Why is it that Brahmavadis are okay and Mayavadis are not okay? And also, what is Advaita Vad? How does that relate to those other two categories?
Okay. Well, for one thing, Prabhupada uses the word sometimes interchangeably. He would sometimes call Brahmavad, he would use the word Mayavad. For what we would say Brahmavad, because we tend to like to distinguish between the two. Basically, the idea of Mayavad is that they are offenders to the Lord. They absolutely deny the personal form of the Lord, and they accept his impersonal feature as absolute, as the supreme. But Brahmavad really means someone who has realized the Aham Brahmasmi. I'm not this body. We can say Shukadeva Goswami was a Brahmavadi, and the Kumaras were Brahmavadis, because they had understood Brahman. They had understood, they've come to that realization. Atmaramas. They're Atmaramas. So these Atmaramas, when they get some attraction to Krishna, because they're not offensive, then they take up devotional service. Whereas the Mayavadis, they're just offensive. They may hear about Krishna, but they just want to challenge Krishna. Prabhupada has, of course, of so many heavy words against them. He talks about the Mayavad commentators on Bhagavad Gita. He says they're trying to kill Krishna with their commentaries. They're trying to kill Krishna. It's completely demoniac. So Advaita Vad, Advaitavad means the philosophical conclusion that everything is one, only one. And there's only one thing, and that one thing is impersonal. So if one sticks to that, then the best that one can get is some kind of impersonal liberation. If one is lucky, actually it's described in different places, that there must be a tinge of bhakti even to get Brahman realization, some devotion. Of course, you can say that devotion to Brahman is also devotion to Krishna, because Brahman is Krishna. Krishna is the supreme Brahman. So in a sense, if one is attracted to Krishna's effulgence, then one is being attracted to Krishna. You can say there's a sort of a devotion there, there's an attraction, there's a devotion to one's practices to attain that. But really, to get Krishna, get realization of Krishna, there has to be real bhakti. This is some kind of shadow bhakti, you might say, or a hint or a reflection of real bhakti. So Advaitavad means the philosophical conclusion, especially that one is established in and convinced of and not going to budge from. I always remember this in Prabhupada's Vyas Puja offering to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, 1930-something. There's one line in it. The one is printed at the beginning of the Vyas Puja book often. And the line is something like, because we've heard from our Guru Maharaj, we're so much convinced about Krishna and who he is that no arguments from the other side is going to budge us an inch from our conviction. No matter what these rascals say, we're always going to stick to the conviction that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the Mayavadis, they go the other way. They're stuck on that and they don't want to budge from it. That's Tattva Vit Prabhu.
You were just saying that it's maybe even possible to talk about bhakti for Brahman. I'll just add a point that is in Tamal Krishna Maharaj's book, his dissertation, called The Living Theology of Krishna Bhakti. He talks about a lady from India, a scholar, who has made the argument that the Vaishnavas have taken this term bhakti and tried to monopolize it. And she's arguing in a very scholarly way that we should be able to talk about bhakti for Brahman.
Mm-hmm. So there are many things we can say, in a sense. We could put bhakti in quotation marks in that sense. Yeah. Pushkar Prabhu?
I was going to say, as far as Advaita, and these things are defined in Madhyalila, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives distinctions, you know, in the Amarama explanation, that those who want to merge with Krishna, and those who want to merge with the Brahman of Krishna, and those who want to merge, Prabhupada says in the purport, or it says there that those who want to merge directly with Krishna, they're considered much more Mayavad than the ones who... or more extreme than the ones who just want to merge with the Brahman. You remember all this? Abominable, yeah.
That's abominable.
But there's different terminologies in all these different categories. So
yeah.
Now they may parallel these other terms, Advaita and Brahmavad, but I'm not sure. But there are these various distinctions given there. If anybody, what was the Madhya what? 20 something. 21.
Yeah, it's probably Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Sanatana Goswami. Okay, Prangalinda Prabhu.
Very nice of us. If you don't mind, I would like to add a little more, because I have these doubts also for many years, long time back in Mayapur. But then recently, a few years back, we found this. The commentary on this, even though beginning, Jat Adyaita Brahma Punishadi Tadabhasya Tanuva, Jatma Antarjami Purusha Sahasangsa Vibhava, Sarvaisarjapurna Bhagavan Jasayamayam Na Chaitanat Parajagati Paratattam Paramiha. This conclusion in beginning, Prabhupada gave a beautiful purport on that, and then conclusion that word is there, Jat Adyaita. So Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gave a comment that 700 AD, this word Adyaita was more prominent by the Vishnu Swami, and 786 AD,
when Shankaracharya came, he started to point it, oh no, this should be not pure Advaita, it should be only Advaita. So he's kind of like stealing from Vaishnavism, bhakti, to the Advaita. That's why the Advaitaism, like a...
So Vaishnavas were using the word, right?
Right.
That you're saying. Because in a sense, everything is one, right?
Yes. One substance. Yeah. The name, possessor of the name, right, and the substance of the name, they're all one. So Vishnu Swami explanation was nice, but Shankaracharya stole that. He said, no, this is Keval Advaita. It should be this. Then he gave his whole explanation. And then if we see Ramanujacharya, he comes specialty on oneism, oneness or monoism. And then Nimbarkacharya, he says, well, oneism with duality, dualism. That's why Mahaprabhu took Madhvacharya, because he did not talk about anything about Advaita. No oneism. He said two. Everything is two. Five. Five eternal factor are two. Duality. There is eternal difference between soul to soul, God to soul, Maya to Bhagavan, and then elements of the Maya. And he literally always shows these two fingers. Even at the moment of dying, he was showing his two fingers. He died with the two fingers on, the two. And then that's how he left. And Mahaprabhu loved this inner conception. So now in the commentary on that, given that Brahmavadi are not offended because they accept these two Brahman, Sagun Brahman and Nirgun Brahman. But the explanation of the Sagun Brahman, that the Brahman who is the Brahmananda Bhavedesha Cheta Prarada Gunikrita, Prabhupada quote that verse also, 7th chapter, Noitam Bhakti Sukham Bade Paramanna Tullam Api. In the commentary of that verse is given that Sagun Brahman is endowed with the spiritual 64 qualities that Bhagavan is eternally there. So that Sagun Brahma has a eternal, beautiful Satchidananda form. Brahmavadi who accept that, the impersonalists who accept that are considered Brahmavadi. Now, this Brahmavadi, they come to, headed by Astabhakra Muni. Also, Prabhupada says in another lecture that Astabhakra Muni tried to establish his best, that impersonal aspect of Brahman. He's not denying the eternal form of Bhagavan, but he wants to, they believe, Brahmavadi believes, that from impersonal Brahman, Nirgun Brahman, Sagun Brahman came. So therefore, our goal should be Nirgun Brahman. The Mayavadi, they use the same word, Sagun Brahman, Nirgun Brahman, but they say Nirgun Brahman has a two aspect. There was one God, now everything became little God, and they all have to go back, pantheism, or Vastu Parinambad. Or they say there is a Nirgun Brahman who has no form, no leg, nothing, but Sagun Brahman means that he takes shelter of Maya, Sattagun, and takes the form. So that's why they are offended. Both use the same word, but the inner conception behind the word is big difference. So Brahmavadi means they accept personal form, also impersonal form, but they think impersonal form is higher. So that's why they are not real devotee. But they are not offended.
Madan Mohan Prabhu?
Just a little thing that I noticed on that verse you're quoting about the yogi should meditate on Krishna's smiling and laughing. In the purport, you did some of the purport, but the next, like two lines down, always struck me how Prabhupada said this. I'll read the sentence right before it. It is described here in that one should meditate on the laughter or smiling of Vishnu. And then this line is what struck me. There is no other activity that can completely cleanse the heart of the devotee.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he wrote.
On the yoga.
Where he says, the devotion steeped in love and affection, with devotion steeped in love and affection, the yogi should meditate within the core of his heart upon the laughter of Lord Vishnu. The laughter of Lord Vishnu is so captivating that it can be easily meditated upon. When the Supreme Lord is laughing, one can see his small teeth, which resemble jasmine buds, rendered rosy by the splendor of his lips. Once devoting his mind to this, the yogi should no longer desire to see anything else. So he said, that one particular, there's no other activity that can completely cleanse the heart of the devotee. It seems.
That first quarter in your prayer course.
Yeah, 328.32. The smile and laughter of the Supreme Lord Hari is most magnanimous. For those who bow down to the Lord, his smile and laughter dry up the ocean of tears caused by the intense suffering of this world. All right, we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.